Well, as a team, we are in D.C. and we're going to remain there. And we're fortunate that the Nationals have allowed us to work out at their facility. And you know, we're just realizing an extended reality of kind of what we've gone through, which has been bizarre and surreal, and certainly different than anybody has experienced in sports. But in this case, it's obviously also universal. And we're getting daily reminders that player health and public health are the most important things in front of all of us.
Yeah, Mark, and as the latest comes out with another team having positive tests, that being the St. Louis Cardinals, causes for more scheduling shifting and more pausing in the season. As it starts to feel like it's piling up, what was your reaction to the latest news here as you try to project what the future could hold?
I think more of a reminder that, one, you know, we are living in a world that is extremely uncertain, and to try to, you know, predict or feel comfortable in what's going to come in the next 6, 8 hours or 24 hours is a big mistake, that we have to adapt and continue to be flexible. And I think, too, that, you know, we can't control the circumstance around us. The virus is certainly reminding all of us of that, you know, on a, you know, global scale. We made a decision in a very different set of circumstances with a different set of parameters framing moving forward, and with what we thought was a very strong protocol. Things changed dramatically. If you go back and think about it, at the time we made the decision, our biggest fear was a spike, a second surge of the virus in October. And it was an effort to try to get started earlier. And then after we made it, we started experiencing the spike that is impacting all of us right now, you know, in the game and across North America. So we're doing the best we can, putting player health first and community health as well, and just trying to move forward. But it's obviously a big challenge, and it's testing the strength of the protocol.
We're talking to Mark Shapiro, president of the Toronto Blue Jays. Obviously, even more complicated for you after Canada wouldn't allow you to play in your home ballpark. You decide to land on Buffalo, but it's not ready yet. Do you have any idea when you'll start playing there? And even after it's ready, will you also still be engaging in some of those home and away where you stay in one ballpark?
It's been an odyssey. You know, I've learned more about Canadian government and public health than I ever believed I would. It's been a great education. It's easy to understand why Canada has handled the virus so well. In a city of 7 million people, there was one case in Toronto yesterday, which is remarkable.
Wow.
When you think about what we're seeing, you know, in juxtaposition throughout all major U.S. cities. And so, you know, I was deferential as we went through that process, but still up until, you know, a few hours before the decision, we thought we were going to be playing in Toronto. We then had 6 days to find a home site. The players were very strong that they wanted us to explore all the major league alternatives first. We, as you probably know, we had something done with the Pirates. Public health got involved there in politics, and we lost that and explored the Orioles pretty quickly and realized that we weren't going to get a clear answer there. And we pivoted to our best kind of internal option, which was our AAA affiliate in Buffalo. But huge challenges there, Sarah, because we've got to upgrade that from not just a minor league facility to major league standards. And we've got to layer on top of that, you know, the virus protocol, which calls for a lot more spaces, which don't exist in minor league stadiums. So it is undergoing a massive transformation. The pictures I got this morning show a giant tented structure being built in the right field parking lot for the visiting team, which would house almost all of their clubhouse needs, and then we are utilizing the concourse, the service level, for new batting cages, for new weight room. We're moving the locker room in the way the batting cage area used to be, and shifting all the spaces. That being said, it will be ready, and obviously new lighting and new field as well. So it'll all be ready by August 11th, which is our next home dates, as we begin a road trip on Monday. So it's remarkable the work being done. At that point, you know, Buffalo will be our home for the remainder of this shortened season.
Mark, how much sleep are you getting? I mean, because I feel like as we talk about this, I do not envy the position you and a lot of others are in. But talking about that position and going even further back to before the season started, and a lot of people coming off the heels of early success, but success nonetheless from the NBA's opening night, seeing the predicament baseball is currently in. A lot of people are screaming, what about the bubble? Why didn't they pursue a bubble? And a lot of people are saying, well, the players didn't want it, but ownership didn't want it. Yeah. Where were the stumbling blocks with this?
Yeah, I don't think that's been well articulated. I'm not sure why. I mean, there are some very different set of circumstances for Major League Baseball that we as an ownership group, you know, throughout MLB were facing. And that was one, the NHL and the NBA had almost completed their seasons and were nearing the playoffs. We were 10 days away from starting our season. So we hadn't even started it. So what we were looking at when we were examining the bubble had a couple challenges. One, it was going to be at that point a minimum of 80 games, and asking the players to quarantine and be walled off from their families and any outside life for 80 games, not just playoffs, was something that they were understandably hesitant to consider, particularly because things weren't as bad, remember, when we made that decision. So that was one. The second challenge that we faced was the three places that we could do the bubble were Florida, Texas, and Arizona. And if you look at the largest spikes that we've experienced, those are the three hottest spots other than California that we're dealing with in the United States. So those are a lot of challenges that kind of made the bubble sound like a great idea. And I think it is a great idea for conducting playoffs or a very, very condensed one-month schedule. But guys, we were looking at, you know, 2.5, 3 months, and then playoffs on top of that. And I think that was just too big of an undertaking to consider in a bubble.
Mark Shapiro, Blue Jays president, with us here on Spain and Company. Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornette, ESPN Radio. You know, Mark, you said very wisely that, you know, things keep changing. So a lot of decisions that are made with one thing in mind, a lot of things shift. And looking back to early on in our own coverage of this pandemic and how it's affected sports, we kept saying, what will happen if someone gets it? And now we're looking at almost entire teams. And, you know, for the most part, most of these young, healthy players are getting it. They're asymptomatic. They don't know they have it. They wait in quarantine. It passes, and they get right back to action. But you look at someone like Eduardo Rodriguez of the Boston Red Sox, who's got heart-related issues after having gotten COVID and essentially recovered from the COVID, but is still dealing with this myocarditis. How much are your players discussing the fear of getting it versus just the inconvenience of what it means for their game schedule?
I think our players probably reflect and mirror a lot of people in that age group, in that, you know, as things started, they felt a certain level of invincibility and that, you know, this probably can't touch me. As things progressed and they saw the devastating impact, not just here, but across the world. And then as they started to see people they knew contract it, and they started to deal with the more tangible reality that their lives, their well-being, you know, their source of income are being dramatically impacted by what's going on, things became a lot more real. And so I've seen our players go through, and I can think back to the meetings we had in the couple of days before we broke and spring training abruptly ended, and how they talked about the virus then to the rigor and discipline and the adherence to the protocols they demonstrate now, and really the healthy sense of fear and respect they have. I think they're cognizant of the realities of it. Even if it doesn't, you know, affect them that much, they realize what it could mean, you know, obviously to their careers, but also to their families and the people they care about and love, and their broader community.
Mark, I'm going to deliver this as purely as I can. With the issues thus far, do you envision this Major League Baseball season finishing an entire 60-game season in a playoff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to answer that with complete honesty, but not in a satisfactory way, which is, you know, I do believe that the protocols are strong. And, you know, I've had a chance to review those at a level of depth and talk about those with public health officials that, in a way that I never dreamed I possibly could. The level and rigor of our testing, the way that we're handling things. That being said, we're living in a world where we cannot predict everything, and we do not know how things will unwind. I, you know, there was a resolve and a commitment on a conference call today with the commissioner and the rest of the owners that we're going to play tonight, or most teams will play tonight, and we're going to continue to move forward, but also understanding that, you know, there could be circumstances that dictate that's not possible at some point. But I'm an optimist by nature. I will tell you this, Jordan, that as challenging as this time has been for me personally, the best 3 to 4 hours of my day over the last week have been watching our team play. And, you know, it has been a reminder of how much I love the game. I think our players are playing with that energy of just how much they appreciate being able to play. It's not about the money. It's not about the business. It's kind of, we're all just so excited to see baseball and play again. So there's motivation and desire, A, not to just go through a year without baseball. That's important for us as a game and an industry. And then I think there's just that desire that, you know, for the people that love and care about the game, if we can find a safe way to continue to do it, then we're going to continue to do that. If at some point we feel that endangers people, particularly outside of baseball, then I think all of us will reconsider that, and we'll follow the commissioner's lead on those decisions.
Blue Jays President Mark Shapiro with us here on Spain and Company on ESPN Radio. I'm with you. I'm a Cubs fan, and so it felt like I basically put my calendar on hold. I can't be summer in Chicago unless I'm watching the Cubs, and so being able to watch a couple games has been huge. You know, every team's in a different window right now as they're in the midst of this. Some are trying to get that first or second title while they've got their core strong. You've got a really young, exciting team. Obviously, Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette. What have you seen, and maybe how are you feeling about this being the timing for this particular weird season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take away the weirdness of the season for a minute. And even in seven games, it's been kind of an affirmation that we're making progress in our plan, that it's not just unfounded optimism, you know, or belief in a young core of players like Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, Danny Jansen, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel, Vladdy. But the pitching, the young pitching that we've had step up, you know, whether it's guys we traded for like Thomas Hatch, you know, or Trent Thornton, but other guys have stepped up, Ryan Barucki, Anthony Kay, you know, our pitching has been really, really good. And I think to see the young pitching start to gel and come with our core young position players against some really good teams. Tampa obviously is a, you know, an incredible team, and Washington's the reigning world champion. So it's been fun to watch. You know, we've had moments, we've been in every single game, and really, except for yesterday's game when we've lost, it's only been, you know, due to bullpen late, you know, two extra inning games, and we have the best record in MLB. So it's been fun. I mean, again, I'm excited for our future. Hope that future can be this year, but regardless of whether it's this year or not, I've been doing this for so long and seen so many kind of plans either stall out or come to fruition that, you know, what I've seen so far makes me bullish on the Toronto Blue Jays and excited to watch us play.
Well, Mark, we hope we get to see you in Atlanta starting next Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe you'll be playing a different team. Maybe you'll be playing no team at all. Maybe none of us will be playing. We'll all just cross our fingers and try to adopt that positive attitude that you've got. Thanks so much for giving us some time. I know it's been crazy recently. Really nice to catch up.
Thanks, Mark.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.